Hello and welcome to Pumped, the inside podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Woggon, and I'm talking to Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country and from triathlon to road racing. And today I'm talking to Michaela Gatto. The Canadian girl from the West Coast used to be a downhill World Cup racer and then decided to step back from racing and focus more on her creative side. How she spent the time in Canada right now and what she thinks about the Red Bull Formation, the first freeride event for women, you will find out in this episode of Pumped. Hey, Michaela. How are you and where are you at the moment?
I'm very good, thank you. And I'm actually sitting on my bed in my room in Squamish, BC.
So that's one of the best places for mountain biking. And you're born and raised in Canada, which is in total the spot in the world for mountain biking. How did you get into the world of mountain biking?
Well, those are some pretty bold claims, but I won't argue with that. I do love where I live, and especially since the COVID, I've realized, you know, how lucky I am to live in the place that I do. But it all started, I guess, with my brother. I have an older brother, and growing up, we were always super adventurous and camping and living on a boat and things like that, and I just kind of followed whatever he did. So when he started mountain biking, naturally, I wanted to as well because, you know, I had to try and be better than him. So I would chase him and his friends around on like a white beach cruiser doing little jumps and stuff. And then I think my mom and dad saw that, okay, maybe we should get her a mountain bike as well.
Nice. So now you're living in Squamish, but you're not from Squamish, right?
No. So I'm from, originally I grew up in West Vancouver. I was born in North Vancouver. But West Vancouver is kind of the furthest north, if that makes sense, before you start the Sea to Sky, or the furthest west before you start going north up the Sea to Sky Highway. So Squamish is only about 45 minutes from where I grew up.
So for me as a kid, Vancouver and the North Shore was always the place I always wanted to visit. So it's it must be great.
Have you been?
Yeah, a couple of times, and I really love it. Okay. It's still for me.
I was going to say, you have to come.
Yeah, definitely. So it's for me still the best place for mountain biking. I really love it there.
Yeah, it's definitely a really special kind of riding. They've done so much trail work in the last few years, but when I grew up, it was extremely technical and slow riding, but steep and like really steep rocks to hard compressions to 90 degree corners to a skinny to a drop. And so far in all my travels, I haven't really found anything that compares to the craziness of the shore in the early 2000s and late 90s.
Yeah. So you started as a downhill racer and then you decided to quit racing. Where did you make this decision?
Yeah, well, I actually started as a cross country and road racer, but that didn't last very long. That was like a couple, like 2 years.
Just too boring. And then, huh?
No, I was terrible at climbing. I still am. And then one of my coaches said, like, hey, you know, you can take a chairlift up and ride your bike down, right? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Is that a joke? So that's how I started downhill racing. But yeah, I quit racing in 2014 to pursue media, kind of more media-driven, adventure-driven, free-ride biking. It's kind of evolved over the last 6 years, actually, from being something that I felt like, because I got the reason why I quit racing World Cups was because I had a really bad crash and a super bad concussion. And my concussion symptoms were so severe to the point where I kind of made the decision that I didn't want to put myself in a situation where I had to be forced to ride a certain feature on a certain track, like as fast as you can, because the danger of head injury is a lot higher, I thought. That was my reasoning anyways. And then the other part of it was that I'd been racing for almost 9 years on the World Cup circuit, and I am also an artist, and I felt like the creative side of me wasn't able to really express itself through racing anymore. And I won national championships a bunch of times. I got on the World Cup podium. I was a top 10 racer. I got to see all the tracks multiple times, and it kind of just felt like all of those things combined kind of led to the transition into the more media adventure freeride side of things. And then it's just kind of exploded from there. And I couldn't be happier. I mean, I miss racing sometimes, but I love my life now. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. So what are you missing? Why are you missing the racing, or what are you missing on racing compared to your job now? Is it the pressure, or?
It's a bit more lonely, I think, doing what I'm doing now. You don't get the energy and the hype of being at the races and being in the pits and like just being with a lot of like-minded individuals that are all pushing themselves and challenging themselves. That I find that energy, I really feed off of it. And you don't really get that when it's like you by yourself on top of a mountain with a drone and your cameraman is halfway down and just kind of radioing you like, okay, drop. Like it's, you're still, yeah. Did you say go or did you say no? that's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a different kind of intensity because the riding I'm doing is usually a lot more exposed and a lot more dangerous than in a way because you're in the backcountry, but it's not the same energy and excitement and maybe pressure to perform like racing is. So I definitely miss that. And I miss my friend, like I miss the friends, the social side of it for sure as well. Like these girls, like, are some people that like I grew up with, you know, like Tracy Hannah, we've known each other since we were 16 and spent all season together from when we were 16 to like 20. Oh, how old am I? Doesn't matter. So, and then now you just like, you never get to see each other again. So it's like kind of sad in that way. Yeah. For sure.
But last October, you did the Red Bull Formation event in Utah. The first freeride event just for women. So what's the story behind that?
That was so cool. First off. So I guess, I mean, Katie Holden went to Red Bull with the idea, I believe. I don't know the full details of the story, so I can't really speak for her, but I know Katie Holden organized it, got Red Bull involved and invited me and five other girls to be a part of this women's free ride camp, essentially. It wasn't a competition. It's not judged. And we were each given two diggers, so we could choose two people to help us dig our line. And went down there never having ridden that type of stuff before. And I actually hadn't been on a downhill bike I'd only been on a downhill bike twice since I quit World Cup racing in 2014. So it was, I found out kind of late that I was invited, and I had already had all these plans to go to Europe to be with Steffi and do our camp and all this stuff. So yeah, and filming, whatever else. So I only rode my bike twice before going. But it was kind of, that's just kind of how it came about. I just got a phone call and showed up with my boyfriend, who's a trail builder, and another guy whose car broke down, so I had to get someone down in Utah to help me. And it was all very like last minute, kind of crazy, but one of the best experiences I have ever had on a bike, and it really made me realize my purpose in riding, I think, because I think I was getting a little bit lost again after racing.
Yeah. And the whole event, is it like the Red Bull Rampage without judging? So the trails and the jumps and everything, is it similar so that you first have to build your stuff and then ride it, or is it a different format?
Yeah, so it's I actually have never been to Red Bull Rampage. It's one of my life goals to go and watch. But essentially, I think how Red Bull Rampage works is like the boys have a week to dig a line, and then they get a bit of practice time, and then they do the competition. So ours was kind of condensed because the entire event was only a week long. So I think we had 2 days to dig. However, we were on the 2015 Red Bull Rampage site. So a lot of the old features and lines were still kind of there. Mm-hmm. So as far as the amount of work we had to do, we kind of just chose a couple, like I chose my own line, and then Hannah Bergman had a different entrance, but her line fed into mine. So we shared, and then the four other girls all did the same line on the ridge line next to us. But they were all kind of pre-existing lines from the 2015 Rampage. So we only had 2 days to build, but we just had a bit less work than a lot of the guys at Rampage have. And then we just had like 1 day to practice, I think. And then two runs that, and I didn't know this going into it, but they were going to film. We had two goes at our line that was going to be filmed by the Red Bull guys. And that was kind of the format.
So that was 2019. That was the first, the first event like this. But what do you think is the future of these events? Is there more coming of these in 2020 or 21? Will there be a judged one, or what is the planning?
Yeah. So again, I'm not on the committee and I don't have that behind the scenes insight, but I can just go off of what us and the girls, like what I've talked to the other girls about and a little bit to Katie and stuff. And it sounds like the general consensus of the girls that were there would prefer it to stay being like a jam session rather than a competition. Mm-hmm. We just found that without the competition side of it, the whole event was so supportive, and so much growth was made and encouragement among the girls. And we'd never really had that opportunity with each other because we've always been competitors. We've always been stacked up against each other. And when you do that, you lose a little bit of the camaraderie, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think the hope is to keep it as like almost like a dark fest. That's what I would like to see it as, is something where it's invitational, but there's a lot more people allowed Maybe the digging format is different. Maybe it's not in Utah. I don't know. But it's this rider-judged event where the girls would give the other girls props. Like, oh yeah, Vinny had the best whips all week. We're going to give her the prize for best whip. But it's decided amongst the riders. It's not decided by judges or competition. I think that's something that women's riding could really use. But on the other side of things, like there's the women's slope style world tour, I think, that is starting. So there's women's slope style that's starting that is competition like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if something like Rampage was born out of this formation. Maybe it's not called formation. I don't know. But I think at the very least, this is a start. And it's a really exciting stepping stone to a bunch of different options for women in the free ride world, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, so that all sounds pretty good. And I've seen a lot of pictures and a couple of videos, and it really looked like a really good time you had there.
Yeah, it was the best. Like I said, it's like not even rare. It's like never happened before that all of us have been together and we're all friends from before. Like a few of us didn't know each other that well, but like we never get the opportunity to just be friends without competition. Yeah. And it was so cool. It was super, super cool.
So now we have this Corona crisis. And when did you hear the first time about Corona?
I was in New Zealand when I first heard about it, because I remember picking up Steffi and Ainoa, our other roommate, our intern, from the airport. And I remember them, like, I remember Steffi being like, oh, I kind of have a cold. And I remember being like, maybe it's this virus people are talking about. So I guess it was like end of February that I first heard about it. And then by the time that we finished Crankworks and flew home, it was like that week is when, in Canada anyways, they started canceling all the events and like 250 people max, at one time. And then like 5 days later, it was like, okay, no people at any time. So yeah, it was like right when I got back from New Zealand.
Yeah. So I think the Crankworx in New Zealand was the first bigger event in the mountain bike scene which was affected by the virus. I think some Italian guys got into quarantine and stuff.
Oh yeah, I think Torquato, I think it was Torquato Testa, was that who it was? Wasn't allowed out of his hotel room. Because he had just come from Italy.
Yeah.
And I think he was really upset about it. And there was a lot of opinions about it. But it had nothing to do with the event. It had to do with like the government officials. And I think like a week later, we understood why he wasn't allowed out of his hotel room, because the magnitude of the virus was becoming much more apparent in the next, you know, couple weeks after the whole thing.
With most of the events and stuff is canceled for 2020, how did you spend your time right now? Or how do you spend your time right now?
Well, luckily for me, my career isn't really based off of events, although this year I was planning on competing in the Crankworx Whistler and maybe Crankworx Innsbruck. So that was a bit disappointing. And then I also had, it's more just like not so much the events, but the fact that we can't fly and travel has affected my schedule way more. I can't imagine for the racers out there, like not having any races to go to. It's like, okay, so this is how you make sourdough. it's gotta be really hard. I feel really lucky to have my career be shaped around creating content then and finding cool free ride lines than attending events. So in that sense, it hasn't really affected me too much, just the travel part of it.
But you're still traveling in Canada from place to place and discovering all maybe some new areas?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't even really answer your question. What am I doing? So for the most of this coronavirus quarantine kind of thing, I've just been at home in Squamish. I didn't even leave Squamish at all for March, April, May. I think I left Squamish to go to Vancouver maybe a couple times. I didn't even go to Whistler, which is like 45 minutes away. And I didn't see anybody, not even my boyfriend, and just stayed home. But luckily I live with 4 other people and they all ride bikes. And one of them is a filmer. Mm-hmm. So we were always allowed to ride, during the pandemic, the stricter phases, we were still allowed to go and ride our bikes. So we would just go at like quiet hours and be safe, obviously, but I was riding all the time. I was riding more than I usually do because I had nothing else to do. So yeah, riding and yoga videos, and tried making sourdough once, but that was way too much work. And then now that it's become like phase 2 and parks are opening up again and things like that, I have gone to see my boyfriend in the interior of BC, and still not staying in any towns or going inside any grocery stores and stuff, just because I want to keep everybody safe and myself safe. So, but I've been camping a lot in the woods, just preparing before I go, and living off of what I pack in my car. And yeah, it's been really great. It's awesome. I love it. I don't really want to leave home. I'm pretty happy here.
Yeah. So Squamish is definitely a good place for a shutdown, or for staying at home and to get quarantined.
I mean, it was a little bit funny because suddenly nobody was working, going to work or anything. So I would go to the trails like I usually do, and it was like a freaking party. Like there was cars everywhere and people everywhere. And it was like, initially it was like, oh my God, the trails are more busy now than before the pandemic. Like, what is everybody doing? But it's really evened out. It's calmed down. But there's still a lot of people on the trails. So I usually, I'm kind of like, go into the middle of nowhere and ride my bike instead.
So if you follow you on Instagram, you can see that you keep on posting pictures of drawings and paintings. Is art something that interests you very much, or?
Yeah, well, I went to university for it for 3 years, so
I'd say really?
It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went to university for graphic design and illustration, and it's kind of my fallback. Once the biking's done, graphic design or illustration or graphic illustrations is definitely an option for me. It's just unfortunate with the biking, it takes up so much of my time that like I'm selling some prints right now and stuff, but like all the admin of like getting the prints made and going and shipping them and writing all the orders out and figuring out all the payments and all this stuff takes a lot of time. So it's hard, and then also just creating the art to make into prints and things like that is like extremely time consuming to sit and be painting all day. So unfortunately I never get to draw as much as I'd like to, but it is definitely my other biggest passion, I would say, and my other profession once biking doesn't work out for me anymore.
So you traveled a lot of different countries with your bike. What's your favorite one?
Well, obviously Canada. No. man, it's so hard because every place is so, it sounds cheesy, but every place is so unique and so beautiful in its own way that it's like impossible to compare. It's like comparing your children, you know, how do you pick a favorite? It's like each one is beautiful and different in its own way. But, oh gosh, to be honest, road tripping through the US was some of the most beautiful scenery I'd ever seen. Like Utah is crazy. Mm-hmm. It's so different. It's like biking on the moon. It's, I would say maybe Utah just because it's unlike any other place I've ever been. Whereas like Europe, I love Europe, but it is similar to Canada in the sense of like big mountains, trees, technical riding, things like that is kind of similar.
it's similar to Europe, but Europe is with all the cool stuff from Canada. So,
hey, I didn't say it. No,
no, it's not true.
No. And I think the other place that was the coolest, I mean, India was super cool when I did a trip through in like the Himalayas. That was crazy. And then also biking on the edge of a active volcano in Bali was probably the coolest place I've ever ridden my bike.
Cool. So when everything is open again and you're able to fly again, what will be the trip you're looking forward to the most?
Well, I was supposed to go to Portugal this month, end of this month. Oh, I'm so sad. Actually, that's probably one of my favorite places to visit and ride is Portugal, because you have the surfing, you've got the like European vibes, but also like surf vibes and really fun riding and a good variety of riding. So I'd say that would be one of the first places I will plan to go. Also, I've always wanted to go and ride in Hawaii because I heard the riding there is really cool. So I was planning a Hawaii trip as well. Mm-hmm. Again, with the surfing and the beach vibes as well, because I love the ocean. Formation, obviously, Utah.
Yeah.
And those were kind of the big trips I had planned for this year. So I'm and then maybe India again. But those are kind of, I don't think I'm missing any. Oh, and Mexico. I was supposed to go to Mexico as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hot places.
Okay.
Tropical places.
So thanks a lot for your time, and we wish you all the best for the season and for 2021, of course. And hopefully this women's freeride thing will picking up and getting bigger and bigger. So thanks a lot and talk soon.
Thank you. Yeah, and good luck on your big ride. I know a little bit of maybe how hard some road riding stuff may be because I just did a road climb challenge, but you guys have a lot more days to do than what I did. So best of luck in that. And yeah, keep
thanks a lot.
Yeah, keep it real.
Bye-bye.
Bye.